Frank Sinatra. You heard of that guy, Paul Rosen? Frank Sinatra. He was pretty popular back in his day. Well, Frank Sinatra suffered from OCD.
Frank Sinatra was pretty popular
back
in his day.
Yeah, he was. He was pretty well known. Been gone for about 20 years now. He
master of the understatement.
He had obsessive compulsive disorder. You know that?
No.
Yeah, he suffered from OCD. Other celebrity sufferers of OCD include Leonardo DiCaprio, no less, and Daniel Radcliffe, the kid who played Harry Potter in the movie. So Harry Potter had OCD. OCD is a form of anxiety, and anxiety is one of our topics this morning on Health Matters.
Irritability, anxiety, and blue moods all have one thing in common. Learn the way back to emotional balance and a path to eliminate prescription medications. What do all three of these have in common? And what happens when your endocrine system is disrupted? For example, your thyroid. All coming up.
And you can give us a call any old time during the show and talk about your health issue. 503-222-9700. 503-222-9700. We would like to hear from you. And also, you can go to AccuNatural.com, ACUNatural.com, Paul's website, anytime, 24/7, and get loads of good health information, podcast editions of this show. And by the way, if you call the show this morning, you can get a free copy of Paul's book, The Missing Piece.
Indeed.
You can do that.
We don't send them. You have to pick them up at the office. But I will be happy to sign it for you.
So anxiety, blue moods, irritability, those are all different points on the emotional scale. But you say, Paul, they have a common point of origin.
They have they have something in common. I didn't say they have a common origin.
I stand corrected.
But you
what do they have in common?
Made that up.
We're going to find out.
Out of whole cloth.
Well, but I'm playing devil's
advocate.
You know what?
It's very creative on your part.
Yes, it is. I'm pretending not to know, wink, wink, what you're talking about. That way you can correct me.
Anyway, emotional balance or imbalance has everything to do with your endocrine system. Thus, the common thread amongst the three of them. The endocrine system is that part of your nervous system, which is essentially balanced and stimulated by chemicals called hormones. And the endocrine glands, which are responsible for generating these disruptions like anxiety, irritability, and blue moods, lie in essentially one of three. Thyroid. I knew you knew that.
I knew that.
Adrenal glands, right, for two endocrine glands, and then organs, which are also affected by hormones, such as the liver and the brain.
So this somewhat insulting catchphrase, if somebody is acting out, acting irritable, for example, they may say, well, that's just hormones. Actually, they're correct. Is that right?
To a large degree, yes. Mm-hmm.
So what throws our hormones out of balance?
Oh, my gosh. Did I pay you for that lead?
You did not, but I know.
Well,
I knew.
Actually, yes, I did.
You did. Actually, you are paying me, as a matter of fact.
So I got to keep you on track.
That's true. And on the payroll, I might add.
Hopefully.
I hope so, right. For everybody's sake.
No slip-ups.
So what does happen to our hormones to make them go crazy?
So it turns out that I know you're going to know this.
Okay,
it's what
go
you
ahead.
Put in your mouth.
It's the food you eat.
It's what you put in your mouth has a huge impact on your endocrine system.
That's the principal factor, the single factor, or one of many factors.
It's a principal factor, but still one of several principal factors. And the second, which is what we're going to explore a little bit more during the show, is the chemicals that we are exposed to or expose ourselves to that are what we term endocrine disruptors.
All right, we'll discuss those. But to go back to the food, I'll guess right off the top of my head that sugar is one of the foods that most adversely affects our hormones.
You win.
Win the prize.
Yeah, whatever that is.
So how does sugar do that, though? How does it make our hormones do things they shouldn't be doing?
Well, sugar, we've talked about this many times, but sugar is has the same impact on your nervous system that cocaine does.
No kidding. And what impact is that? Does it excite the nervous system? Does it make it work too hard?
Yeah. I mean, the chemistry of it is the same, and it's affecting the same centers of the brain.
Okay. So it's making your system hyperactive is what I'm guessing.
Yeah, amongst a number of things. Initially.
People who do drugs like that say it creates a hyper sense of alertness. I mean, that's what attracts them to the drug in the first place. You know,
probably more akin to, the effects of, you know, being super hyped up or aware. And then the downside of that once the drug wears off is...
is you crash.
You crash and you experience depression or blue moods.
Right. Now, sugar would have, to continue that analogy, sugar would have the same impact as the drug in that regard. They can hype you up and then make you crash. It also creates an addiction. Is that right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Sugar is clearly an addictive drug, if you like. Just ask anybody to stop eating their chocolate chip cookies and watch them squirm.
So this drug in particular, sugar, is having this very negative impact.
But
on
here's
our hormones.
Here's the thing. For any of you out there who have any kind of emotional imbalance or irregularity, who experience outsized irritability or blue moods or the anxiety, right? If you don't stop eating sugar, then you are selecting, potentially, the addictiveness of an antidepressant or anti-anxiety drugs, along with all of their side effects, which are many.
Yeah, and I think you hit the right point there in terms of comparing it to an antidepressant drug, for example. If somebody is feeling poorly, in a blue mood, they might reach for comfort food, which could be a candy bar or, you know, a great big banana split sundae or something like that, which is loaded with sugar.
You ask any one of my patients at any point in time, when they made the decision to eliminate concentrated sweeteners, not just sugar, but concentrated sweeteners from their diet, they will tell you some amazing stories about their emotional transformation, as well as their physical transformation. It surprised them dramatically how much sugar, concentrated sweeteners — I'm using sugar as a term really to describe a category of foods, concentrated sweeteners, and includes fruit juice and any concentrates of fruit as well. And it just shocked them to experience what the elimination of that food category did for them, how it improved their quality of life. It's very enlightening.
Is it fair to say then that sugar is the worst culprit among the foods we might discuss as to what might affect our moods?
It is fair to say that. Yeah, it is fair to say that.
So
now there are many other issues. We're going to get to the chemicals.
Okay.
Right,
which
is that. What we're going to focus
but
on.
But are there other specific foods that cause mood swings, you know, from anxiety to irritability to irritability to
Well, any kind of food that contains some chemical, a preservative of some sort, or a coloring, you can see them on the food labels. All you have to do is pick up a pre-made food product, look at the label, and you'll notice that there's some terms there that you don't understand.
You know, I was at Starbucks this morning. I'll go ahead and confess that. And I saw a mom there with a couple of her young kids, and she was feeding them gummy bears. Now, that food alone has just about everything you described. It has sugar in it.
If you'll remember, I had a patient, a young girl. She was 12, 13 years old, who was experiencing stroke-like symptoms. You remember that?
Yes.
And it wasn't gummy bears she was eating, it was Skittles, which is essentially pretty much the same thing.
It's a candy, but I mentioned that, and Skittles fit
the
category,
too. Well, it's a gel candy that's brightly colored.
Right, it has the artificial
flavoring.
Contains
lots of sweetener.
The artificial color, all those nasty things.
Yeah. Doctors couldn't figure out what was wrong with her. We ultimately did. And voila, you know, with actually amazingly very little resistance, right? Because the stroke symptoms freaked her out more than the loss of the Skittles, and she would test that now and again.
You know, I think the issue here, too, to use Skittles or any other candy as an example, we all know those things aren't necessarily good for us, but I don't think we understand how bad they are for us.
So colorings and other synthetic flavorings and preservatives and, you know, the various chemistry that such processed foods contain have a huge impact on a disrupting effect on our endocrine system. And as I mentioned, there are two endocrine glands in particular, the thyroid and the adrenal glands. So here's the long and the short of it. If you experience bouts of unexplained irritability or are easily ticked off, as the case may be, your thyroid is in disarray. It is in disorder. End of story. Doesn't matter what your blood tests reveal. Right? Almost every person who has had irritability that has come to see me that I have helped has had a relatively normal-looking thyroid relative to what the blood tests say. But addressing the thyroid with proper nutrition and supplementation and handling the environmental obstructions, impingements that we talk about, like chemicals, right, in the air. And voila, all of a sudden, oh, I'm so much more relaxed. You know, I'm not barking at everybody like I used to. Anxiety is another one. Adrenal glands. If you're experiencing anxiety, mild to severe, your adrenal glands are in trouble.
What about Frank Sinatra? Was he eating too many Skittles or could alcohol
actually? I don't know
actually...
if he likes Skittles, but probably just drank a little bit too much, Smoked a little bit too much.
So all those bad habits can play a big factor too.
Totally. Totally. In other words, we do it to ourselves. You do it to yourself. You're doing it to yourself.
503-222-9700 to speak to Paul Rosen this morning on Health Matters, 503-222-9700. So in your experience, Paul, have your patients who've had these kind of symptoms been pretty much habitually addicted to these kinds of foods?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Blue moods and irritability are really the kind of head and tail of the emotional field.
I suspect, too, given the fact that we all have different levels of resistance, that some of your patients, among others, may have had slightly small amounts of, say, candy or junk food or whatever it is. They thought they were eating manageable amounts, but in truth, a little bit was too much. Would that be fair for me to say?
The bottom line is it's irrational to think that, well, okay, you know, I'll cut back. I'll just have a little bit, you know. I mean, the way I address that is just how much arsenic would you consume and what quantity would make it relatively safe? Answer that one for me.
No, I wouldn't be in a big
hurry That was a little bitey.
That was, yeah. that was a little irritable there. Did you have sugar with your coffee this morning?
Oh, my gosh.
I'm going to guess not.
So aside from the thyroid and the adrenals, other endocrine glands include the pituitary gland, the thymus, which basically sits underneath your chest, right about mid-center, the pancreas. Yes, the pancreas is an endocrine gland. All you diabetics will be noticed of that. Ovaries and testes are two other endocrine glands, and these essentially help to manage, they release measured amounts of hormones into the bloodstream that act as messengers traveling to different parts of the body, including the brain.
So if you're out of whack with your hormones and these glands aren't operating properly, of course, you're sending the wrong amounts of hormones to various parts of your system. That would include your brain, as you just said.
So not only foods, right? But, for example, personal care products. The types of products that you use to brush your teeth with, wash your face and hands and body with.
So what's up with toothpaste and soap? What do they have in them that could throw your body, out of whack again?
One main chemical are found in many products are phthalates.
What are those?
Phthalates are a group of gender-bending chemicals. Causing disruption of estrogen and testosterone balance.
So are these chemicals, these phthalates, commonly found in household products that we use for hygiene?
Commonly found in household products, yeah. You can read them on the label.
Are they a preservative or something like that?
No, I just described. They literally disrupt the testosterone and estrogen balance.
Right, but that's not why they're in the products. I mean, they're in the products for a reason, for coloring or for, like I said, preservation or something like
Does it matter?
Okay.
No, they're in there
for a reason. They don't say, let's put these in to disrupt the endocrine system.
Be fun. I mean, honestly, it doesn't really matter why these chemicals are in there. You need to avoid them for whatever reason they're in there. And there are alternatives to almost every product that you might use.
So this is kind of amazing to me.
That's what we teach our patients, our clients.
As you also preach, Paul, we should eat fresh food, organic food, as much as possible. But now, in terms of our household products, let's say our cleaners even, or our hygiene products, we should be seeking certain sorts of safe items also. Is that right?
Yeah, another chemical that's often found in personal care products is triclosan.
What is that?
Triclosan is an antibiotic.
And what is it meant to do, triclosan? Why would they be putting antibiotics in our household products?
It's in some toothpastes.
Well, I want my teeth to be clean. I don't want to have antibiotics in my toothpaste.
But Western science says that bad breath comes from excessive amounts of bacteria.
Right. So the
tooth
triclosan
comes about because of bacteria.
Okay.
So why would you think utilizing a antibiotic would be a smart thing to do in the mouth?
Is that meant to kill the bacteria? You tell me.
Yeah.
I'm asking you these questions.
It's an antibiotic.
Okay. So it's meant to kill the bacteria in your mouth. Yeah. However,
but the postulate is foolish. It's totally foolish. Right? We do not want to antiseptize our bodies. And you know why?
Microbiome. Okay, the microbiome being
right,
in your
stomach.
Which
we've talked about many times.
So these
which
products,
are the trillions of bacteria and viruses and amoeba and fungi and whatnot that we need for normal function and survival.
So these antibiotics and toothpaste, for example, would not only interfere with our endocrine systems, they would also make our stomachs lousy. Is that right?
Correct. Not just our stomachs lousy, but disrupt the balance, right? Because, I mean, everybody can get pissed off. Everybody can get angry for a very short period of time or frustrated. But the question is that your modus operandi, right? Everybody can feel down, but is that a daily occurrence? Everybody can feel anxious about, say, I'm going to take my SATs or my LSATs, right, beforehand. Be tested. You can be anxious. But is that feeling something that you experience on a daily basis, right? That's when things are out of hand.
I suspect with many that's the case, and they don't know the source of these imbalances. Maybe they just think, well, I'm irritable as a matter of my genetic makeup. My father was like that, so I'm going to be like that.
There are personal care products for almost every purpose that do not contain any chemicals whatsoever, any endocrine disruptors.
So if somebody was using those products instead of what they're usually using every day, they might...
For dishwashing, for example, Dr. Watkins Pomplemousse dishwashing liquid is one of my favorites.
Why would dishwashing liquid?
Do you know what pamplemousse is?
No, I don't.
It's French for grapefruit.
Pamplemousse?
Yeah, grapefruit scented.
Okay.
Pamplemousse is one of my favorites.
Is the scent just kind of a side effect, or is that?
Well, it has a scent to it, so okay. People like scents, but it's a natural, you know, non-endocrine disrupting scent, right? Dr. Bronner's is a great all-purpose soap that is derived from natural sources and is biodegradable and does not disrupt your endocrine system.
And you're not a paid spokesperson for those products or any others?
No,
you
but
may
I
mention.
Use them. I use them, and I teach people to use them.
So why would these be preferable to the regular stuff we buy off the shelf?
Because they don't contain chemicals or endocrine disrupting products.
There you go. That's the answer I wanted with that rhetorical
I knew you
question.
I knew you were fishing not with a nice light fly, but with a heavy spinner.
If you're going for a big fish, that's what you need. 503-222-9700 is the number to call for Paul Rosen this morning on Health Matters. You can get a copy of his book, The Missing Link, for calling and going on the show. 503-222-9700.
Drinking water is another category that contains endocrine-disrupting chemicals. Your drinking water is often contaminated with atrazine. What is atrazine?
I don't know.
Rocket fuel.
How does rocket fuel get into the drinking water?
How? Take a guess.
No, I don't know. Are we launching rockets from the reservoir?
Well, any place that either produces them or utilizes them, right? It gets into the air, which ultimately... It either drips directly into the ground, into the water table, or it comes down with rain when it's in the atmosphere. In other words, we've been doing it for so long, and now shows up in drinking water.
Okay, so there's industrial dumping. There's
arsenic.
Agricultural
arsenic is another
products.
One. Perchlorate. Some of you guys will have to look all these up because I can't believe I got a lot of categories to go through.
But there
through.
Are chemicals in the water we may not want in the water.
And
is
then
that right?
One that we actually put in the two that we put in the water, which is insane. One of them is chlorine, and the other one is fluoride.
All right, and those things aren't necessarily
and we've
good
done,
for
we've
us.
Done separate. We've done separate. I've done separate episodes, which you can find on my. Podcast or can go to my website at acunatural.com, acunatural.com, and look it up there.
Point being, our drinking water is not necessarily pure. It's full of this stuff, and these things can all disrupt the endocrine system, therefore having a direct impact on your mood.
Yeah. Anybody who's drinking water from a commercial source needs to think about putting aside a kitty to save some money for some kind of filter system at this stage of the game. Wouldn't go without it. Wouldn't drink water without it.
In a filtered system, though, it may be a little bit expensive to begin with, I think.
It can be. It can be, but you can at least start by getting out some of the chemicals. But the bottom line is, what's expensive?
Well, the point I was getting to.
Bladder cancer or consumption of chlorine?
Or being angry all day. There's that, too.
Or being angry all day.
Point I was getting to is that if you make that investment, that's a lot cheaper than, say, you know, devoting yourself to bottled water for the rest of your life.
You know, the funny thing about it is people go, well, you know, the government says it's okay. But I think it's kind of funny how selective that, you know, some of these same people will rail against the government for whatever reason and then go, well, the government is taking care of that. That's okay.
Yeah,
no,
you're right. You have
we
a point.
We can't sit still and allow someone else to, you know, determine the quality of our life. We just can't. It's just not, it's not self-preserving, right? If you want all of the faculties that God gave you, your brain, your IQ, your quality of life, got to take control. That's what we help our patients do.
You've mentioned household products as well as the drinking water. What other environmental factors can adversely affect our endocrine systems?
Well, canned foods is another area to stay away from as much, or at least find out whether or not there are BPAs, bisphenol A, in their foods. Another chemical that's used in the making of those products.
And again, I'm guessing some of those at least are preservatives. I mean, if you're making canned food, you want them to stay fresh in air quotes in the can for as long as possible.
Well, they're coated. The cans themselves are often coated with BPAs.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So the process, or I should say the act of putting the food in there, exposes them to chemicals.
But not in glass bottles.
So
I try to buy as much as I can in glass if I'm going to buy a product that's, you know, a pre-made product. I mean, I buy my tomato sauces or tomato paste or whatever in glass containers, not in canned containers.
What about plastic? Same thing. Plastic is probably full of chemicals, I
imagine.
Yeah,
yes, and you have to be aware of that too. Yep, in plastic.
All right, so watch out for those particular
and
containers.
And then, of course, conventionally grown produce. You were asking just earlier, what other types of or sources of chemical in the foods? Didn't you ask that question?
I did.
Yeah, so what type of chemicals do you think would end up in commercially grown foods?
Anything used as a preservative or a pesticide.
Pesticide, fungicide, herbicides, traces of which are all found in commercially grown foods.
And could that be now more so than ever because we have these massive operations now growing our food on great big industrial farms and in orchards?
Well, organic food isn't grown with those things.
Okay. Well, that's the point I was getting to.
But unfortunately, you know, the conversion of those lands sometimes can end up with, some of those types of chemicals. It's a fraught world out there.
It's very fraught, but it sounds like we do have alternatives, and those alternatives are not hard to come by.
Meat and poultry and dairy products that are not organic, not free range, not pastured, can contain antibiotics and hormones and other industrial chemicals that may disrupt your endocrine system.
And again, affect
mercury in fish. Once not so much, now very common.
So how do we know the mercury content in our fish? Is it just like organic food? You can buy fish.
How do you know?
What I'm asking is this.
Yeah,
is if we buy fish the normal way we do you can buy a canned salmon, for example, or you can buy, you know, fish right out of the freezer at the market in your local market. But is that fish necessarily going to be full of mercury, or is there a way we can buy fish that isn't so full of that chemical?
What you have to do is you have to think about what fish you're actually intending on eating. So fish that tend to feed on other fish contain more mercury than those that don't. So, for example, sardines versus tuna or salmon.
Fish that feed on other fish.
Mm-hmm.
So sardines eat other fish?
No.
Okay.
That's what I said.
They are eaten by other fish.
Correct. Now you're coming along.
Okay.
You must have had too much coffee this morning.
No, I was going to say, what fish is smaller than a
sardine?
You're freaking
me out, Rod. You're scaring me.
Sardines are pretty small.
I'm becoming
irritable
anxious.
And anxious.
Yes, I'm becoming anxious.
You are. Proving again that
anyway, that's what you have to think about. You asked me, is there a way to know how much mercury is? No, unless you take your fish and have it assayed, and nobody's going to do that because it's too expensive.
Well, I understand. I guess what I was trying to get to is that I know you can buy free, you can buy salmon, for example, which are, how do you term it? They're I don't want to say free-range salmon. That creates a picture of salmon grazing out in the field somewhere.
Actually, believe it or not, there might be some. There are fish genes in genetically modified corn.
No kidding.
Yeah. So you might see some fish out there.
Grazing.
But it would be in a different form.
That would be interesting. I would wonder just, you know, how much coffee.
So anyway, you asked. So you can't assay the amount of mercury in your sushi, but you'd want to stick to seafood like the smaller fish, like sardines or anchovies, and hen and herring. Those three categories tend to have the lowest mercury content, and surprisingly the highest in omega-3 fats, too.
And omega-3 fats are desirable, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Kitchen products, non-stick cookware, more BPA and PFAs, perfluoroalkyl substances, which are used to create non-stick, stain-resistant, water-repellent surfaces.
In English, that means non-stick cookware is full
all,
of chemicals.
And PFOAs, so they're often connected, at least the PFAs and PFOAs, with precancerous.
So if you're using certain kinds of cookware, that can leach chemicals onto the food
you're
preparing.
So what are healthier options? What are healthier options?
Eating with your hands.
Ceramic-coated, enameled cast iron cookware, both of which are durable. Some people don't like stainless because of the potential other metals like the iron content in it.
I would think, too, there are certain kinds of cookware like ceramics, which look good and may sound good, but they are probably full of natural chemicals that can leach into your food, too.
Cleaning products. The things you clean your floors with, your toilets with, your oven, your windows, etc., often contain NPEs, which are nonyl phenol ethoxylates. Oh my gosh, they are. Yeah. But you can get around all of that by using vinegar, baking soda, essential oils. Dr. Bronner's can be all be used to clean successfully without using any of these products that contain those things. So that's a lot of information. I would suggest, folks, that you go back and listen to this so that you can get both the products to avoid and also the products to embrace. Then, of course, if you're on antidepressants or anti-anxiety drugs and don't want to be on them, come see us.
You can also go to AccuNatural.
We'll help you out.
AccuNatural.com, ACUNatural.com. That's Paul's website where you can find this and a lot of other great health information. And if you have something going on, you'd like to speak to Paul right now, you can. 503-222-9700 for Paul Rosen on Health Matters. 503-222-9700.
And one of my patients, Reynold, was experiencing lots of fatigue and depression and irritability as well as digestive upset. And it's always good to hear from patients and their experience with respect to the return of their health, utilizing my expertise and our office's approach to restoring the quality of life. Here, let's start with Reynold, part one.
How did you learn about me? How did you learn about this nutrition response testing?
From a friend that mentioned it to my daughter, and my daughter mentioned it to me.
Wow. So it was kind of sort of a little bit circuitous there.
Yeah, we have a horse barn. I was walking through the horse barn, and I'd been talking about trying to do something to help myself, and this person called the barn and was talking to my daughter and mentioning how she had so much help. And mentioned your name and said, I ought to go see you. And I think I was in your office within less than a week seeing you.
Wow.
So it was fast.
That was fast. We were talking yesterday. Reynold was at the health seminar, and we'll talk a little bit about that. It took me over 6 months, before I took action upon hearing about nutrition response testing, and it only took you a week. You're Mr. Speedo.
I don't mess around. Sometimes my problem.
Because you don't mess around?
You're right. I get in too big a hurry and try to, do things over the top and don't control myself. Sometimes I do things impulsively. But in this case, really, this had been a few years in progress, and I had already made calls to some naturopaths and was trying to figure out what I needed to do and which course of action I needed to do, because I was in a state that I knew I needed to do something. And when you were recommended and this friend said how much you had helped it. I'm going, well, that's a good recommendation from this person. I'm going to go for it.
Well, what were you suffering from, that caused you to sort of go on this adventure and try to find out what was going on? I mean, what were you dealing with?
Well, the main thing was lack of energy. I just go through the day dragging and having such lows hit me up and down, but mostly down, and either medium down and then down from there, but never really up. And
those lows were not just your energy, were they? They were also your mood.
Yes, I felt very depressed. I was having problems with my mood, with sometimes being angry and unreasonable, to being just drawn back and, you know, not wanting to do things or talk to people. And
well, there you go, Paul. That's Reynold, your patient, and he was having problems with his mood. In his case, he had extreme down moods as well as a lack of energy. So that would be symptomatic of what you've been talking about, problems possibly with his endocrine system.
Yeah, it's flip side of the same coin, irritability or depression or blue moods. Source is the same, thyroid.
And that's what was going on with Reynold?
Mm-hmm. Well, and the front part of the brain. Yep.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Part two.
Part two?
I'm sitting on the edge of my seat.
Okay, well, here's part two of Reynold's story.
Thank you.
Quite a few years back,
uh-huh.
I tried it for, I think, 30, 60 days, and I just felt really weird on them, and I go, no, this isn't for me, so I didn't do it.
You may have told me that, but I forgot. Okay, so
so
you did try antidepressants because you were getting hints of the same sort of condition that you were trying to figure out, right?
Right.
Right. So back to you, Georgia. So there must have been some other things going on. What were they?
Well, I started on them, my God, way young.
Why?
And why?
Do you mind sharing?
Well, I didn't have a very good childhood. And
oh, well.
Rough.
Yeah.
And so they would just, you know, if you were upset about it, well, obviously there's something wrong with you.
Right. Just because you were kicked around like a football and mistreated right. Well, you got to be depressed. Well, of course.
And it was being female, I don't think helped either, because back in those days it was like, oh, well, you know,
right.
Female.
Right, right. Exactly. So here's the deal. And Reynold is going to sort of give us some real experience here with respect to, you know, how he got to the root of, you know, of this emotional, depth or, you know, cavern or wherever, you know, he was. It's all about, and I'm going to give you the hint here, it's all about your endocrine system. And what I mean by, do you know endocrine system? Do you know what that is?
Not much.
Well, your endocrine system is essentially pretty much what runs the functions of your body. And there are two very important endocrine glands. One is called the adrenal gland. You've heard of that.
Mm-hmm.
And the other is called the thyroid.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
you can't
experience depression without having either of those or both be in poor condition.
Okay. I've been on thyroid for a while.
There you go. See, I knew it. I knew I could dig it out.
I even forgot about that one.
Yeah. Well, that's the key.
Okay.
Fix the thyroid, and you don't need antidepressants. So you got
to
fix.
One time they wanted to irradiate it.
Oh my goodness!
And that was I hadn't had that condition for very long. And I said, well, we haven't even tried anything yet.
Exactly. I'd say bring on the nuclear device. Just blow everything up.
Yeah.
And then let's go. Gee, what could have we done? That would have been much simpler.
Let's try something. So they put me on medication, and it was fine. I'm actually went off of it for a while. Now I'm back on it.
Here's my recommendation. Continue to listen to me, but come in and get tested. Wouldn't you say, Reynold?
It worked for me, I'll have to say.
Well, you're not the only person in the office.
Right.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It was just fortuitous that I said that before you came on.
Right.
Then you talked about it. So it's like, okay, there's the sign. There it is.
Yeah. And you're a perfect example. See, your thyroid has been bad for years, decades maybe. Fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Fix it. All right, dear.
Okay.
All right. If you're still interested, just go to acunatural.com, A-C-U Natural, and look and you know, give us a call. Get on the road. Fix it. Stop, you know, don't stop waiting.
Okay, I will.
Because they're never going to change unless you change it. Thanks for calling, dear. Reynolds, so isn't that a common, I mean, isn't that a common situation? I mean, not just you, but I'm sure you've had friends or acquaintances or colleagues or whatever who, you know, sort of start to see their energy or their emotional situation unravel a bit and start that search just like you did.
Yes, I have a close friend that I've worked with for years, and he's to the point where he's been watching me closely, and he said he thinks he's ready to do something himself.
Get serious, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So here's what I'm wondering. What else did you do on this adventure? You said you started several years back. So what did you do? I mean, how did you go about trying to find the answer?
Well, first of all, we have a big family history of depression. My father and my mother, my brothers and sisters, you know, taking antidepressants and stuff. So it was pretty, you know, ingrained in my family. And so I tried the antidepressants, didn't like it.
And how long ago was that?
Boy, that's been, I don't know, 10, 20, 15 years ago, uh-huh. probably uh-huh. 20. It's been a long time because since then I tried numerous natural things, and I did find things that helped me control it, and it was not something that took me way down usually.
Again, that's Reynold, Paul's patient here on Health Matters. He talked about antidepressants there. His family had a history of taking drugs, mm-hmm. trying to deal with their blue moods.
And that's often what, you know, the docs point to. They go, oh, well, this is a familial thing, you know, genetic, you know, blah, 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 blah,
well,
blah.
Well, if everybody's miserable generation after generation and they're using the same thing to make them miserable,
And more importantly, something overlooked, which is eating the same thing. Generation after generation.
He didn't mention that once. He talked about the drugs, about
right.
the antidepressants.
Well, he was just, I had asked him, you know, what types of things did you do prior to coming to see me? So he was running through that. But his remarks are very similar to almost everybody who comes, right? And even when he was on those medications were actually not so much fun because of the side effects. So if you want to get off of your medications, right? You have to have a personalized strategy. You have to have an approach that takes into account you as a unique individual. And that's what Reynold found out, part three.
Okay. By the way, I want to mention, too, you're on Facebook Live right now.
I am, and I have people who are listening. Hi, I appreciate it so much. I hope it's getting some information.
If Paul's voice is not enough for you, you can see his visage on Facebook Live. Just type Paul Rosen into your Facebook search bar, and he'll come up there with a live video feed. How about that?
Yeah. All right.
Part three of his story.
I've studied a lot. I've, you know, sometimes to my detriment to learn about natural things.
Well, you didn't know it was to your detriment back then. It wasn't until recently you discovered
it. Right. And what happened is I felt I could delve into the sweets and the, you know, all kinds of other types of things with healthy foods, and then take a lot of supplements to counteract that, and then I'd, you know, even out some way, and unfortunately...
How did that work? How did that strategy work?
Yeah, not good. My energy level got worse and worse and worse, and I'm going, something isn't working.
So despite the fact that you were sort of casting around...
Mm-hmm.
You know, looking for the answer. You know, you were reading. I mean, you were doing your due diligence. You were reading. You were listening to people. You were, you know, maybe had you seen any practitioners of any sort?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
How many and who? Not person wise, but the.
Yeah, I've gone to a chiropractor, naturopath person. I've gone to another naturopath. I've gone to people who do nutrition things like over the radio, and you go to their clinics and then learn about it and take their nutrition, their supplements.
All good people.
Yeah, and very, very, you know, good-natured and have good, you know, reason for what they're doing, but it just didn't really work.
And that took you almost, you know, from the time you started the antidepressants, which means that you were experiencing these symptoms even before that.
Right.
So we're talking 15 years.
Yes, I would say that's right.
Right. So what was the difference? What made the difference with all of the supplements you'd been taking and all the people you'd been seeing, the practitioners and et cetera, and all the reading and research? In your mind, what made the difference between then and now?
Well, first of all, you have to have a direction that works for your body, which I didn't have.
Your individual body.
Right, my individual plan for me, which I had no way of knowing what that was.
And these people were not, I mean, these people didn't have that viewpoint, or what?
Well, they had the viewpoint of general health and how you, what you take to counteract disease or to strengthen this or that. But as far as your whole body health for your own design for yourself, you were the only one I ran into that had that. And that was key. And then the other part of it is I couldn't do it on my own. I tried to do things, and I'm just, you know, if I see a donut or a, you know, a chocolate chip muffin, you know, a big deal of coffee and down, I do it. And it took a plan that I dedicated myself to, which I wouldn't normally do, but I decided, you know, I have no choice. I have to do something, and it wasn't easy. I have to tell anybody out there that wants to fix something, if you've been, you know, 15 years or whatever years, getting your body in the state it's in, it's going to take a while to recover. But fortunately for me, my alarm bells, like you told me, have gone off, and I've stabilized that way, and I feel great as far as my energy. Just
how long did it take for you to start to notice that things were, you know, going to be better?
You gave me a call, I think it was within a week or two, and asked me how I was doing, and I think I told you, you know, I feel better, and I already noticed some difference that quick. And from there, you know, it maybe a month to 6 weeks, I was starting to know some differences, and I had seen you, and one of my things I was messing up on was my noonday meal on my protein and stuff, and I was kind of skipping and whatnot, not getting my balance.
You weren't eating regularly.
Right, and I had some dips there, and once I fixed that,
You had some dips in your energy.
That's Reynold, Paul's patient, and his story, his road to better health. He did something there that I suspect many of your patients do, Paul, and especially maybe some of those who don't actually get the results they want. He fell off the wagon. He just
Yeah, that happens all the time, and that's okay. At least you started on the wagon.
Well, that's something.
But, I mean, which is the most important thing.
But if you're not finishing the job, I mean, you're just kind of going through
the motions,
I
mean, the thing is that the odds are stacked against us. And what I mean by that is our culture, the way we live, how we live, the exposures, the peer pressure, the social pressure. And people go, they go to a family affair, and they're trying to avoid sugar, and they're trying to eat according to their particular personalized strategy. And there's all kinds of pressure to just, you know, hey, you know, Aunt Sarah just made your favorite cheesecake, or, you know, Mom just made your favorite cookies, or, you know, you mean you're not going to even take a bite?
That's true enough. I think those social pressures exist, but that's blaming Aunt Sarah and Mom, whereas in most cases—
my point is that, you know, changing a life requires changing your habits. You can't change a life without changing your habits.
Well, agreed.
And changing habits is one of the hardest things that human beings can do. So going off the wagon for this reason or that reason, the fact that he made the decision to get on the wagon is the big thing.
And to go
back.
Like
all of you out there who are listening to me, right, wondering how you can address your emotional balance without addicting medications, without medications that cause all kinds of side effects. including the same symptom that you're trying to treat, by the way. If you look at any one of your antidepressants or anti-anxiety drugs, you'll notice that one of the side effects is the very symptom you're trying to treat.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah.
So you're digging a deeper hole.
So for all of
right?
you who want to get off of your medications, what are you waiting for? Come join us. I mean, it's, you know, Reinhold had to go through, as many of us do, had to go through all kinds of practitioners of various sorts, had to go through all kinds of medications and all kinds of supplements. And finally, what were the two, when I asked him, well, what do you think I offered him that was different from everybody else, why he was experiencing such success? And he said, number one, a personalized plan. And number two, he said, being accountable.
That relates directly to falling off the wagon, you know, being
accountable for yourself.
So
those two things, yeah, okay, fine, yeah, sure. It takes a concerted effort, takes a decisive effort.
You have to have some discipline.
Well,
you shouldn't.
Welcome to life on planet Earth.
You shouldn't have to have electric shocks.
Right. All of us aliens on planet Earth, right, have to at some point wake up to the fact that it's our personal responsibility for our own quality of life.
Good news is there are solutions, and you can pursue
them.
That's
the cool thing. And I wanted to talk about that a little bit because I know I mentioned some, but I want to make sure we get to them. How long does Reynolds last?
It's 3.5, so
if
we run it now,
that
would leave you about 90 seconds.
All right. So what you want to do as far as food, of course, is buy and eat organic produce, free-range, pastured organic meats to reduce your exposure to added hormones, pesticides, and fertilizers. Right, rather than eating conventionally farmed fish, eat wild caught, and stick to things like sardines and anchovies and the smaller fish that generally don't eat fish. You want to buy products in glass containers as much as you can, as opposed to canned containers. Right, store your food and beverages in glass rather than plastic. Use glass baby bottles instead of plastic sippy cups and whatnot. Eat mostly fresh foods.
And if we want to get to Reinhold, his last segment, we have to do it right now.
So there are other suggestions, and I would be happy to share with them with you as a patient. Reinhold, hit it. Conclusion.
It's been maybe 2.5 months now.
2.5 months.
Maybe. I'd say that's pretty close.
And voila, things are dramatically different.
Yeah.
What is the most challenging part for you in the program?
You have to fill out your daily sheet of what you eat, and you're held accountable, and you have to make sure it keeps you honest. You're going through every day doing that. I thought that was going to be really hard, but after I got going, it really isn't that hard. Changing my diet and finding foods to replace the others and having them around. I had to go to the store constantly on my own because, you know, I was the one on this program making sure I had the right stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the difficult part at first. And then as I got into it, it just eased up.
And when you went to the store and you looked for yourself, what did you find?
Boy. I'm walking around and say, what can I eat? Can't eat that. And then I'm going, well, I can eat all this good whole food stuff.
In other words, you couldn't eat all the crap that you'd been eating, right? And you looked at the labels and you said, my God, sugar is in everything. Soy is in everything. Everything is like, set to, it is absolutely designed to kill you bite by bite. Tell me that isn't true.
Well, it's true, and I'm checking out, and I'm watching these people check out just here this last week, and I figured 80% of what they were buying was junk and stuff that's going to send them down the wrong road, and at least it was for me.
Well, do you think the other people you're looking at are different than you, that different than you?
No,
they still have hands and legs? They still have, arms?
Just like me, they just don't have the knowledge, and I didn't have the knowledge. You have to – luckily, I had the break to find you and to, find a way to break that cycle and to know what direction to take.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. Yeah. That's right. That's what both you and I had to do. We had to break that cycle. We had to look outside of the normal, of what's considered normal.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
And so normal is if you have the genetic predisposition in your family, normal was depression. Normal was no energy. Normal was digestive disturbance.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, that's true.
And it's all brought about by food.
Yeah.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah, and if somebody can do it on their own, more power to them.
There isn't anybody that I know.
I don't either. I've seen, all I know is I couldn't do it on my own.
I couldn't do it on my own, and I've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars getting educated around the world.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's not that ultimately you won't be able to do a lot of it on your own. That's my goal.
Right.
My goal is to teach you how to do it. But
I've learned so much. I'm being able to, take control on my own little by little. I can see.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Isn't that cool? And isn't that what I was describing the whole time?
Right.
All right. Thank you, Reynold. Paul's patient.
Paul, week.
What's going on next week?
Well, we're going to talk chemicals some more. More chemicals, more sources. Get you headed up. Chemicals do a body harm. You'd be amazed how many chemicals you expose yourself to every day. What are the most common ones, and how can you eliminate as many as possible? Why? Because there's a good chance your migraines, allergies, and eczema are due to their presence. In the meantime, you ate your way to your illness, and you can eat your way to wellness. Remember, it's the food, folks. Keep yours fresh.